Welcome, everyone. This is Studio W The Buzz and Q Lynn Green and the Soul Savvy Show here live on The Buzz every Friday night at 5 p.m. on the PST. And that is 7 o'clock Central Time and 8 o'clock on the East Coast. We've got your host right here in studio, Q Lynn. All right, let's see. What do we have queued up right now? Pardon the pun. All right. Melissa Morgan. That's Melissa Morgan here, and this is the Soul 70 Show. Your host, Q Lynn Green. Q Lynn Green, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
I'm doing good. That's a pretty sweet jam right there. You know, I love your taste in music. Love your taste in music.
That was Eric's pick right there. That was Eric's song.
I love his
Eric
too.
Yeah,
all me.
EB. All right. Hey, the other host of this Soul Savvy Show, I'm just going to let you, you lady and you gentlemen take it from here for a while. You know, I'm going to step away from the mic and just let you have it. Q Lynn Green, let's do this.
Yeah, Eric, EB, how you been doing?
I am great, actually. I cannot complain at all. Other than working for the man, I am great. How are you?
Man, just a bunch of mess and confusion happening. I'm just trying to get through it. I was doing pretty good. My week was pretty good up until yesterday, and then everything was just awful. Dealing with 20-year-old know-it-alls is like the worst thing ever. All the parents. They got to deal with like teenagers and ones that are like not really teenagers, but not really adults. They're like awkward age of like 18, 19, and 20.
Right.
Shout out to y'all, because that's like the most aggravating. You ever try to have a conversation with a 20-year-old? Never do it. It's like the worst thing.
Never do it.
No, just don't do it. I feel like that's the only thing I got from yesterday, was to never talk to anybody that's like 8 to 10 years younger than me, because it just goes anywhere. They feel like they know it all. It's like I was 20, you know, not that long ago. It wasn't like 30 years ago when I was 20. So, you know, I do know some things. And then it gets to, because I have such and such that I think I'm grown. And it's like, no, you're not grown. That's not grown at all. If anything, that's like a stepping stone to having, like, pay bills. Like, that doesn't stop at an age. Like, it continuously happens. Like, they feel like, no, you have to continuously pay bills like 365 days of the year. Like, it's not just, you know, when you feel like it. But yeah, those are the kind of conversations, you have to deal with. And then I lost my, like, listen, I'm not proud to say that I lose my temper, but when I do, I just felt like I was just disrespected at all levels yesterday. It was supposed to be, you know, not to get too much, you know, family information, but, you know, it was supposed, we supposed to be celebrating my youngest brother, 17th birthday. He turned 17, and, you know, I could have did something else with my time, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I don't really feel like hanging around 18 and 19-year-olds all day, you know? But, you know, just try to be a good sibling. All right, I showed up. I could have went to Dallas, could have went an early day to Dallas, went to the PJ Morton show, didn't get to do that, but went to family dinner. We didn't even get to order the food all the way before it went to hell. It just went straight to hell. Like, it was like I showed up, and then a couple of questions turned into, oh, I'm grown, and then it just went crazy after that. And then it's like, oh, this is how my day goes, is arguing with young siblings. And they don't listen, and then it's all shifting just because they have something that they didn't have before. And it's supposed to be new to me. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. It's like, you got a new car, and I'm supposed to be impressed by that. You know what I mean? I'd be more impressed if it was paid for, but that's a whole nother story.
Well.
But those are the kind of conversations. And then bunch of drama getting here. I'm just looking forward to having a really great show, because up until this point, I've been tried on all levels, and I've literally had to sit in the car for like 15 minutes and meditate. Like, just close my eyes and just get it together. Because I really, like, it took so much energy for me to get out of the car and do the show. Like, seriously. It's just people trying me on all levels. Everything is going bad. Trying to make it go good. So we're going to have a great show. Even when we talk about these raggedy people, we're going to make this fun. And so.
Yeah, we can turn this around.
Yeah, we're going to turn this energy around. I was going to get to the updates. We have a lot of updates. I know I said last week we didn't have any. That was because I was too lazy to go look for them, because I knew it was going to be a lot of them. And
right.
So, yeah, we have a lot of updates, especially for you. And they pretty much were Team Aretha. I got X'd out. I was going to I completely deleted all those emails that said that were Team Aretha. Yeah, I'm being petty. I absolutely did. But I will admit on the radio that a lot of people were with you and Lee.
That everybody is Team Aretha.
Team Aretha.
That's what's up.
It was a few that were trying to say they were just as good. I'm like, no, I don't accept that. You gotta be full Patty. We don't take, oh, I love both of them. It was a lot of those messages, like, oh, I love both of them. I can't choose. I ain't talking about, and then a lot of them thought I was talking about vocals. I'm not talking about vocals in that.
Right,
I was
right.
Talking about music catalog, because that's not fair, because they're not even, I can't compare, you know, the Whispers and the OJs, because it's two different kind of, you know.
Right.
Well, they were sending two different kind of messages. It's like trying to compare Isley Brothers with, like, Frankie Beverly and Maze. It's just two different kind of sounds.
Oh, no.
And two different kind of voices. So it was mostly music. When I do that, it's music catalog. So that's why
right.
I feel like it's a no-brainer. Like, you really got to think about this. Like, we really got to think about Brian McKnight's versus Babyface catalog. That doesn't even happen. Like, you need to automatically say Babyface. Like, he has the hits. He has, you know,
yeah,
everything credible.
Like a no-brainer for real.
Yeah, it was a no-brainer. So, yeah, some of those questions, yeah, they're tricks, but most of them you got to, you know, it's an either-or. It's like you got to pick. It ain't no, oh, I love both. No, you got to pick one catalog. That's it. So, yeah, it's a lot of those questions that were happening. I'm trying to see. I'm looking through some more. Did you get any feedback from last week?
I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who said Patty, I can't say you're talking wrong, but, I mean, come on now. It's Aretha, Louise, Franklin, against,
yep.
You know, I mean, Aretha's been doing this since she's been, like, 2 years old, solo.
That
is good.
Man, I wish Lee was on, I would tell him, like, immediately, like, I was trying to go ahead, but he definitely, like, counterpunched me with that when he broke down Aretha. I couldn't even say nothing after that. I had to completely dismiss it. But he checked me, like, for real.
He did.
He definitely, like, because I was trying to downplay what he was saying, but he definitely got me with that because I couldn't say nothing else after that but to try to dismiss it. But I wasn't trying to all the way dismiss it, but I did, in a sense. But, yeah, he definitely got me from that. And I'm still waiting for them to come. I don't know where he at right now. I don't know if he had to got some Will's Jack Daniels or something. I don't know where they're at. Hopefully they'll come on before the show's over with. But something. But, yeah, I found some more updates. Oh, yeah, people were like the conversation. They were listing some more producers, and I'm so stupid. These people were on top of my head, and I didn't write them down with the rest of the names. I didn't write any of them down, really. I was just going off the top of my head, and I hate when I do that because I forgot so many names. First off, stupid for me not mentioning Warren Campbell. Like, I'm so dumb.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't mention him at all through there. He's one of my favorite producers, like R&B producers of all time, like, because he's amazing. And who else? Isaac Hayes. I didn't mention him, like, what is wrong with us? We didn't mention him at all. Like, I thought I did, and then when I listened back, I was like, man, we didn't mention none of it. And then Barry White, we didn't mention him either.
Oh,
we
maestro.
Lost it. Yeah, we didn't mention any of those names. And then who else? We did mention Quincy Jones. I was about to say we didn't, but I think Lee mentioned him.
Yeah, Lee mentioned him. I do remember that name coming up.
Right.
But yeah, I think sometimes, and it's not that we don't think these people are not great producers or artists or whatever. I think sometimes in the moment, we're not writing this down. We're coming off the top of our head.
Absolutely. Because I was trying to think of some more because it was like a couple from the 80s that I knew, but I couldn't think. Again, I was going off the top of my head. I didn't have time to write them down, and so I was just trying to remember, and they were on the forethought of my head too, and I don't know why I didn't mention them. I guess I got caught when we started talking about hip hop. I just started thinking about more about hip hop than R&B, but Dub Campbell, and I was definitely tripping not mentioning him, because he actually, you know, I stand corrected. He actually did produce a song I like, a Ray J song I like.
Wait, what's Ray J song?
Let Go. I forgot all about that song.
Listen, I was under the impression that Ray J only had one song.
I remember because it was Let Go. I forgot what album that song was on though, but that one was a gem. It was, and I think mainly because Warren Campbell produced it. I think that's why it was good because the whole song is good. That's probably the only Ray J song I like, and I'm on record saying this. It's a Ray J song I like, and I found one. It was in Warren Campbell's stash. I had to break out his catalog for me to figure out I liked a Ray J song. But, yeah.
Wow. I'm going to have to go and look that up.
Was pretty popular back in the day. It was all right. I mean, it wasn't a big hit, but I remember being on BET when they used to show videos.
They used to be dedicated to music.
Right, exactly. I don't know what happened with that, but yeah. If you want to, we can go to break and then get into Raggedy. We go to break.
Well, no, no, stop the presses. Stop the presses. I stepped away from the mic. I mentioned earlier that I had stepped away from the mic, okay?
He wants you to get something to drink. You see what he do when we be talking?
Well,
EB, right. I tell you this, but he be texting me all the time that he be gonna be gone for hours. Ever since you've been on EB, he been texting me. I haven't told you, but he'll text me. He walking away, and so he's gonna go get something to drink while we talking.
See, that was a private conversation.
I'm gone for an hour. He's like, just keep talking.
Hey, EB, that was designed to be a private text. That was a private text between me and Q Lynn. And it was in an effort. It was in an effort to keep the show flowing, so she would know. Hey,
it's
I'm
an effort for you to take a break to go get children.
And it wasn't Jack. It was Pinot Grigio. Okay.
Hilarious. Now you're trying to get fancy now.
Fancy now.
Okay. All right.
He's still slipping in the process.
Q-Lib, but you can't get away from this. This was an epic moment. EB, I have a question for you. When is the last time that you heard Q Lynn mention to you privately or on the air or publicly or anything that she had been checked?
This is a first.
This is a first. So Q Lynn, would you please repeat for the audience, how were you checked and who checked you and why did you ignore the person that you checked and just kind of dismiss it like it didn't happen? Would you please elaborate, Miss Q Lynn Green?
Elaborate on being checked? Say it again because I'm not understanding the question.
No, you understood the question perfectly.
No, I didn't.
EB, she's trying to pull a Donald Trump, okay? She's trying to be evasive. Right, that's what she's trying to do. Now, you mentioned something about Will checked me, and you kind of just brushed it to the side like it didn't happen, but you said that you were checked. I heard it. See, just because I'm away from the mic doesn't mean that I'm not listening. You understand? You know I'm the president and CEO of Studio W, so I have other duties. There's another show coming up at 7 o'clock. I had to prepare for that. So I was listening, Q Lynn, so would you please elaborate?
I don't remember saying, Will, check me. I think it was Lee I said, check me on Aretha. That's the only thing I remember saying. I thought I said Lee checked me on Lee. Aretha Franklin.
Uh-huh. Okay. I checked you on Aretha also.
Did you hear something different?
Yes, I did.
EB? No, I didn't say you, Will. I said EB. Did you hear something different? Because I don't remember saying that.
At the very end, you did say, you know, and then Will came.
Yeah, you did mention that, well, you know, I don't know where Will is right now because he's probably getting a Jack or something like that, you know, mentioning that I drink Jack Daniels.
No, you said that you had to step away and I was just telling the people that, I was telling EB specifically that he's been sending me texts, since you've been, co-hosting with me that he didn't step out the room for about 30 minutes or an hour and I was just saying that he went to go get something to drink. I was like, okay, cool.
Okay, yeah, okay, no problem at all. Okay, Q-Lynn, we already know. Like I said, you've admitted on air to everyone that you've been checked, so I just want to know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's okay though. I mean, we all make mistakes, you know, life, you understand that? That's no big deal. So let's see, what do I have queued up now? I have Mr. Glenn Jones. Is that the one you want to hear next?
Yes.
Is that good? Is that okay with you, Miss Q-Lynn Green? This is a Soul Savage show live here on Studio W The Buzz. Stay tuned, everyone. Oh, it's probably going to get more wild out here. All right.
you got till you let it slip away. Now, girl, I'm afraid that my heart will never be the same. True love is oh so rare. It's something that's hard to find. So if you got someone special, take my advice and hold on tight. Don't let her go if she means something to you. You might find yourself searching from the yellow brick road to the end of the rainbow. Nobody promised you a pot of gold.
No, no, no,
if you know like I know, you better take care of business, 'cause you might not ever find another who will treat you the way that she did. So
I've been searching for so long.
Nobody
like you.
No, I am the strange on my mind.
Makes me wonder what I'd do
if I never
Welcome back. All right, this is Studio W The Buzz and the Soul Savage Show with EB and the outrageous Q Lynn Green. Q Lynn.
I'm not outrageous at all.
Okay. I think that's up for discussion. As a matter of fact, you know, I think I need to take another break. You know, this engineering, you know, is challenging, you know, and taxing, you know what I mean?
You need to take a Newport break or something.
No, it's called Pinot Grigio. I told you that earlier, didn't I?
Oh, Pinot Grigio. Y'all think I'll be making stuff up.
He's telling on himself
and don't even know it. See, listeners, y'all thought I was playing. I was being
serious. No, go to your wine store. It's called Pinot Grigio. You know, look.
That's why I told them that you got drinks underneath your engineer station right now.
No, I don't.
Let me pull this out.
No, I'm don't. I'm going downstairs to the lounge. I'm going to listen to your show. Look, this is your show. This your show, right? EB and yours. This is yours. So I'm allowed to take a break.
Okay. All right. Well, we're gonna get into it then. While you sipping on your Pinot
Grigio. It's called Pinot Grigio.
Yeah. All right. While he's on his break,
Hey, Q-Lynn. No, before you go there. Hey, EB, were you, and this was just pure blasphemy. You know, we have a show coming on Saturdays called Eating as an Act of Worship Ministry Show. And Q-Lynn, you know what she did? She said, well, she got a new ministry called Drinking as an Act of Worship. And I said, you know, that is pure blasphemy. It, you know, so you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
That wasn't blasphemy. That's real talk right there. Oh, yeah, people was asking me how the content was. It was lit just like that Earth, Wind, and Fire one. We was drinking as an act of worship at the Mays concert in Osborne.
That's blasphemy. You ought to be ashamed.
I have no shame at all because we had communion with Jesus and everything was all right. We had communion and everything was great.
Jesus didn't drink hard liquor.
He was in the presence. Yes, he was. If he's dealing with wine, he could do. How you know? Y'all need to look up your passages and read scripture or something.
You know,
it's in there.
You know, I'm going to exit stage left out of this conversation. See y'all soon. Bye.
All right. We are entering into Raggedy People News, and I think y'all's president has enough of it to last until Christmas. Like, that's pretty much what I think all of last week's and this week's was talking about this, and also the tragedy in Charlottesville and the Caucasian saltines were upset, you know. Yeah, big mad, and I guess it was from what I read, it was about a statue. That's why they were doing all that, because they were taking down the Robert E. Lee statue in Charlottesville. The protest, I think they were successful, because I saw a video of them. They just pulled it down. Did that happen?
Right.
Yeah, and I saw the video of that, and I was like, okay, and then I was hearing some stuff that they were, those people, the ones, the saltines, united, were trying to, you know, do whatever it is they were trying to do with intimidating, and in the process, one of those, saltines, angry saltines that used his vehicle to go through a crowd of protesters and ended up, killing three of them, I believe it was reported, and, one of them, young lady's name named Heather Hayer, and I think I'd seen a couple of her tweets before, retweeted before this whole tragedy, and rest on to her for, you know, being one of the activists out there going against all these different racist groups and all that stuff, you know. And I also appreciated her mom was I just saw she was on, I think it was Good Morning America and then some others, and she basically was like, when she heard, it's so much that happened in between that and everyone, trying to get Trump to denounce white supremacy and all these people that support him and were were all the way motivated to do these things out there, and they were waiting on Trump to denounce it, and then he got on TV doing his usual asinine routine of basically saying it was that, you know, it was many sides that did it, and then, you know, saying a whole bunch of other stuff, saying that it wasn't that a lot of Nazis and people in between those crowds and all this other stuff, which people on media are just outraged by it from the left and the right. Some of them, I don't know how deeply they're outraged by it, but just expressing that all the Republicans got to do something. And it's, to me, I don't want to be that person to say, you know, it ain't really that I told you so. It's just more of like, why are you surprised at this? And more of
right.
Like, I'm more of in the space of waiting for him to be impeached. Like, I'm not even in the space of like, even entertaining or trying to see how appalled I could be by him, because I was already appalled when y'all made him the candidate, like the primary candidate. I was appalled by that. So, you know, ever since then, it was, and more before that, you know, I've been appalled by, you know, him. I didn't even think nothing of him before Celebrity Apprentice, and it, you know, didn't really care too much about his history. I didn't care anything about him at all, but the fact that y'all let it go this far and now he's president, I'm like, you pretty much deal with what you got. And of course he's going to ruin everything. Like, again, he's losing all his, and I read Lovey's post she did earlier, and she was saying whenever the breaking news was that they fired Steve Bannon, his main guy, they fired him. And Lovey said something funny. She was like, the White House is a temp agency, and it pretty much is. Like, if you go against anything, if you don't pretty much do whatever he says, then you're going to be out. And that's pretty much how he's running it. And he thinks being on the side of finding that line between the neo-Nazis and all that, which I already knew he's a racist. That's not a big, discovery for me. But
we knew that.
Whenever they did, I lost my train of thought thinking about him, but yeah, for him to do all these things, and he's basically doing this for trying to get tax reform, trying to get votes for that, but none of his people are in place for him to do this stuff. Like, he thinks that, catering to his base is going to win him, you know, some of this legislation that he's trying to push through, and it's not. He's already failed at the health care. They already failed at the other stuff they're trying to get passed, and they're not even together in their White House for them to even try to come up with something, because everybody's on the verge of either some Republicans are trying to denounce them, and then some of them are just trying to stick to their party, but that's not working either. So they're in it's going to get to the point now to where he's going to be ousted out of the White House. Like, people are going to be demanding he be impeached. I don't even see him make it past Christmas. That's like how terrible it is. Like, he's making George W. Bush like look at like Gandhi at this moment. Like, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. Trump is, and like you said, none of this surprises me. I'm not outraged by it, because I've been there. I've been outraged by it. I didn't want him, like, first to become president, but even for him to get the nomination, it let me know that we, somewhere along the way, as in the American people, have lost our way, and it's all a joke. The fact that we can put this celebrity, quote unquote, in office after everything he said up until the election, all of the racist rhetoric he was spitting, and the hate and the division that really pushed his campaign, because if we're honest about it, that's how he got into office, because there are more people in this country who hate and want America to basically be a white supremacist society. There are more people in his corner like that. There are more people in this country like that than I think most people realize. And if they have realized it, then were willing to admit at the time. So now that he's in office, of course, he's pushing all of this stuff. He has the entire world is looking at America like it's a joke at this point. And we are supposed to be, quote unquote, the most powerful country in the world, and we are a joke. This president that we have in office cares more about tweeting and being outraged by song lyrics or television shows than actual issues in this world. And I think that's terrible. I think it's kind of scary, you know, that he's just firing everybody. Like, everybody, he's firing them and they're leaving, and then the stories come out later are conflicting. The person is saying that they left on their own accord, and he's saying he fired them weeks ago. And it's like, well, what's the truth? Like, who's running the country? Because really, at this point, I don't feel like the country has a leader.
But we never had. And
right.
It just keeps getting worse. And then he's so stupid. He thinks that he can that his only job is to veto things. Like, oh, yeah, that's my only job. Like, no, that's not how that works. Like, just because you veto something doesn't mean that's going to affect anything. You just vetoed it. That doesn't give you any power. And then it's just ridiculous. He's just a complete, that whole, anybody at this point, Republicans that back him are complete contradictions to what they try to uphold as being Christian values. They can't even act like they uphold any Christian values, because none of you act like that, because y'all want to elect a man. None of this man doesn't have any kind of moral fiber to him, even when he is married. Like, he doesn't operate like a married man. He doesn't, if President Obama would have did any of these things that he did, they wouldn't even elect him in there. Like, and then they try to act and try to flip it and try to act like, and they want to be victimized so bad. They want this administration to be victimized so bad, talking about nobody has ever been this, criticized so much. Really? You sure?
Cause I could take you back.
Right, and then even with Obama, like, we go back to Bush. Like, I remember when they were giving it to Bush, like, and like I said, he's, like, looking like Gandhi compared to this. Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, on such a basic level, he's so terrible. Like, it's not even about his policies or any of that. Like, he doesn't conduct himself like a president. Like, no president conducts themselves like this. Like, he's almost hated by almost every leader of every country. Like none of them want to shake his hand. None of them... They lie about making an appointment with him just cause, and then they're out like a week later with whatever president or ambassador because they don't want to be seen with Trump. Like, that's how terrible he is. Like,
right.
Nobody wants to be seen with him, like, or be associated with him. And then he's starting all these things with North Korea, like, and it's ridiculous. It's we're going to be the first the country of the United States to start a war over Twitter. Like, that's where this is becoming, is, you know, he says the wrong thing, and here comes North Korea. And that crazy, well, let me not say crazy, because he might hear this. They might got something tapped when you say Korea, North Korea, or something like that, and bomb over here, or something like that. So we ain't going to say.
Right.
I ain't going to say too much about that, dude. Yeah, right, exactly. And so, but yeah, starting all kind of talking crazy on Twitter, and it's just too much. It's like, for me, I don't even like talk. I mean, I think because we do this show, I think it's the right that we talk about it. But y'all heard me, like, say I ain't with this dude, like, many a time. I'm just getting frustrated because he's an insult to my intelligence for me to continuously say this dude is horrible. Like, and a lot of people like it for us to say that, but I'm just getting tired of it. And I'm just to the point now where I'm ready for him to get out. Like, it's just that point, like, of impeachment. If that happens this year or the next year, I'll be happy with that. But at this point, ain't nothing he can do he could just, like pass away the next day, and that would be surprising. Like, that's the only thing that would keep me surprised about this administration. Everything else, he can fire everybody in there. I'm not shocked by any of that. But everybody, the media, again, they're making it, and they're the reason why he got the, they want to say it was his following, but if they wasn't tracking every little thing he did during the campaign trails, then he wouldn't even be, nobody would be paying attention to him. But ever since he's been in the league of being president, they haven't stopped yet with the stories. Like, every news channel I turned to, this was breaking news. Just like with him saying about the white supremacy and not denouncing them. All of this was big news, and everybody's acting like they shocked. I wasn't shocked at all. Like, and then there's some of them that were, oh, we get to Van Jones. This dude here, oh my God. Man. Did you see that video of him? Is he serious?
I didn't see the full video.
I was like...
I couldn't see the whole video. I don't know. I think I used to have a little respect for Van Jones, and at this point, I don't know what to think of.
Yeah, I did too, because he had the show trying to bring them together and say, "Hey, you know, we don't need to demonize, you know, the blue collar white men and all that other stuff." Trying to bring people together, I got it. It was cute. Him trying to bridge the gap and saying, hey, you know, I don't hate all Republicans and I don't think they're all racist and all that stuff. Okay, I let you get away with all that other stuff. And I was cool. I wasn't even tripping on him like that. Like, cause, you know, the liberals and, you know, whoever else on the internet was giving it to Van Jones. Like, why are you doing this? You being an apologist. I wouldn't even give him that. But when he got on there and we're talking about Charlottesville and then mentioned his Jewish godmother, and he started crying, saying he can't even face her after, I can't look her in the eyes without crying because of this. Like, do you not have two black grandmothers on your mother and dad's side that make you wear your eyes up? Like, of what they had to experience, but your Jewish godmother is right. upsetting because she's offended by what he said about the neo-Nazis? Really, dude? I want to say something else. That's why I was going to tell people, like, they think that they say this is a podcast. Oh, yeah, that's what people are saying. It was a podcast. This isn't a, this is a radio show because we do the show live. I don't have, we don't have the ability to, if I mess up something, to go back and edit it. Or if I post it on, the only time, like right now, I'm not even going to post this on my website. I only do it when I have guests on. But this is live radio. That's why y'all got to get the app. Tell your aunties and cousins. This is a little plug in there to get the ING2 app. And a lot of people have been getting it confused. You got to put a space between the two. It's IMG2. It's not a one. It's an I. You can capitalize it or non-capitalize it, lowercase, doesn't matter. IMG2 with a space in it. Tell your family or whoever, your friends, to download the app and you listen in live. This is live radio. It's internet radio. Yeah, it's not a podcast, because if it was a podcast, I should be cussing, but Will said he's listening. I was going to, like, let a few slip, but he said he's listening, so I'm not going to do that. But, yeah, if this was a podcast, I would definitely be cussing way more than what I do on here, because I got a filthy mouth. And sometimes, especially talking about this administration, that's another reason why I don't like talking about it, because I can't cuss how I want to. Because, you know, it just so many words I could try to come up with to be creative to call him, and it's like, it's getting, I didn't call them Orangeade, I didn't call them Tampico, spoiled Tampico, I didn't call them,
trying to use all the, all the clean words.
Trying to clean words, but I'm running out of them, so that's why, I have to come up with some more, before we talk about them again. But yeah, I'm not surprised by anything with this administration. They're, completely ridiculous. And anybody that's still waiting for him to change it. Oh, and Van Jones said something else talking about that one when he was talking to the families, the military family got, their kid got killed or something like that, talking about he was presidential. You should have seen how I was looking at him. Like, I was like, Nick, I almost slipped up there and said it. Van Jones, I couldn't believe he said that. I'm like, is you serious, my dude? Really? That was presidential? Like, you giving him too much for nothing. Like he has to do the bare minimum of correct, like, morally correct for them to be impressed with. And I'm like, it's so, like, man, and y'all talk about being low expectations for Obama. Like, what do you call this? Like, this dude got to form, like, complete sentences for y'all to be, like, impressed with, what he says. I'm like, really? That's all it takes for y'all to be impressed with this guy? And you talk about black excellence. This is white mediocrity at its finest. Like, this, he is like the embodiment. And that's why all those dudes with those tiki torches was mad. Because all y'all mediocre. You talk about, and I'm going to go in a little bit. You talk about the Confederacy. All y'all lost. All your people lost. Like, that's what the Confederacy, they lost. Like, and y'all proud of it. You proud of a legacy of losers. They lost in the Civil War. They're not winners. They didn't win. And for the people in Oklahoma, and I'll say this again, Oklahoma is not the South, and it's people here that like to do the Confederacy, and Oklahoma was considered Indian territory. So I don't even know why they have Confederacy flags, because the ones or heritage, whatever. They ain't heritage because we were Indian territory in Oklahoma. So there was no sides in the Civil War for Oklahoma, people in Oklahoma. Like, that's where they went to go hide, was in the Native Americans would hide the slaves and all that stuff. And you know what I mean? So yeah, you can't say Oklahoma is the South. And that's just for people out there. And I'm tired of that conversation because it's a big debate of if Oklahoma is the Midwest or the South. It's not the South. The only reason you would consider it to be people consider it the South is because we're right above Texas, and Texas can literally be two states. That's the only reason why y'all consider Oklahoma the South. They call it Southwest, but it's not the Southwest. It's the Midwest. And if y'all visited anywhere in America besides those two places, you would see that Oklahoma is the Midwest. I've never been to anywhere in the Midwest, in Illinois or Michigan, and thought, oh, Oklahoma is the South. No, it's not the South. It's the Midwest. And it's a big argument. It's a lot of people argue it because They see a lot of, it's a lot of racist people, but they stupid on history. Like, it's people that don't know their history. Like, how are you going to be proud of something you don't know nothing about? That's what kills me. And all y'all ignorant and you stupid. And like I said before, I told a story on here, like, people really out here on that racist stuff. Like, it was somebody tried me at the Starbucks, like, some months ago. Like, and this was, like, right around when he got elected. So it was, like, a month or two, like, during the winter, like, earlier this winter. Of last year, like, they tried me and was like, he told me I couldn't park my car. It was an open parking lot. He told me I couldn't park my car there. And he had the full guard on. He had the Trump hat on with, he had a Trump, button on his hat and a veteran cap on. And was telling me I couldn't park my car. Mind you, it was two white women that were walking in front of me that parked the same spot. Not saying that mattered anyway, but just to let you know, this was on some racist stuff. Like, he was for real on there. And I cut whoever his racist grandpa that was got cussed out. I can't say, like I said, this is radio. I can't say what I said to him, but he got cussed out. And in that moment, if something was going to go down, it was going to go down, and I didn't care. And luckily it was two guys that were helping me, and they were, like, trying to get that guy to move around. And then they were telling me, the two guys I was talking to, because he kept pacing back and forth between my car, and that's why I was like, man, do I gotta go up to my car and get somebody to my seat for this dude? Because he kept walking back to my car, and then when he walked away and I didn't know where he went, and I asked the two guys, I was like, yo, what was that dude doing over there next to y'all? And he was like, oh man, that old dude. And I was like, yo, he's on some racist stuff like a man go tell me I could probably. He's like, oh, that racist dude. He's like, yeah, that dude ain't gonna do nothing. He on probation. I was like, he go jail if police come here. And then they were telling me that he was like, it was like where the parking lot, he was mad because his drug class is next to that building. And in Oklahoma, they just passed, I said earlier, they had passed a law with the voting that instead of drug addicts going to jail, they go to like drug facilities, like a drug court or whatever. And they haven't built the facilities yet. And so that it was a clinic where they opened parking lot and they closed like at 5, and that one closed at 5. And so their classes, they have drug classes there after hours between like 7 and 9. And that's what time he was there. And he was mad because, and then they were telling me the story that he's there for like heroin and meth, cause he's a drugger. And I remember listening to a show and they were like, oh, you know, this many states that Trump won, that majority of his, followers, are drug abusers, like methamphetamines, it was heroin, and what else? It was like painkiller abusers, like he fit all those descriptions. So this old man felt entitled, like this is the suburban part of where I live, and so he's like he'd never been to that side of town before, so he felt like superior to me because he takes classes there. And he felt like I didn't belong there because he ain't ever seen me, like he ain't seen me there, so he didn't think I belong there. And he don't live there. Like, he don't live nowhere. He's only on that side of town but for a drug class. And he felt superior to me because, and he don't know I live right down the street. Come here regularly. But for some reason, he didn't think I belong there. Like, that kind of stuff. Just simply off that, he felt superior to me because he thought he felt superior because I was black. He felt that way. Didn't know I lived down the street. Didn't know the people know me here. And he told me I need to leave. That's the first thing he said. He said I need to leave while you are called police. Oh, who? You don't own nothing in this parking lot. You don't own none of these lots. And then he's sitting there looking stupid. And I told him, listen, I told you, I can't say what I said on there, but if you could just imagine, I told him, why are you talking to me? Get the F out of my face. And then he's sitting there looking stupid. And then I cussed him out. And then he came back after I talked to the dude, and he was still trying to, I was like, yo, didn't I just tell you get out of my face? I was like, get your dope shooting, your meth shooting, blank. I told him to get all that stuff out of my face, and he's sitting there still looking stupid. And guess what? He got up out of my face. Cause I ain't got time to be playing with them. See, you gotta talk to them you can't talk to them with respect. And that's another thing I'm tired of, this respectability that y'all trying to put on, like, oh, we just gotta pray about it.
Oh no.
That's all that. You come at me with that racist stuff, you gonna get cussed out. Or whatever the, all the above. Whatever's gonna happen. I'm not with that. I ain't praying about nothing.
Wow.
So, that respectability of, oh, we gotta pray through this and all that stuff. No, you just wanna be complacent. That's what on either side you on. You wow. just wanna be complacent in it. You don't wanna be, have a backbone and stand up for yourself. Cause it's gonna come a point to where, cause I was minding my business. I went outside to get my charger. I wasn't even looking for all that. I wasn't even paying attention to the dude. He stopped in front of me with all that racist stuff. And in that moment, I had to realize, am I gonna sit there and cower down, let this dude talk to me crazy, or am I gonna check him and put him in his place? And I checked him and put him in his place, and guess what? He got up by my face, period. Cause they don't respond to respect. Them kind of people don't respond to respect. So you trying to tell me to coddle a rattlesnake, and I don't do that. That's what you want me to do. When you tell me to do that, you tell me to hug a rattlesnake. I don't do that. That ain't how I roll. So if people can get mad about my perspective on that, saying it's not godly, I don't care. Don't come at, I don't make no apologies for racist stuff. I don't play about racist stuff, anything, and I'm not, and the crazy thing is people were saying all that stuff and saying I was being racist, and the two dudes that was helping me were white men. Well, actually three. Cause the dude I was talking to, he was a regular, and I was telling him about it, and he was like, oh, I'm gonna follow you out there to make sure he don't do nothing. And then the two dudes that I was talking to, they were white men, so it was three white men helping me. So you think I don't, and people think when I say that, they think that I don't like white people. No. It just, I know how to make distinctions between people. I don't treat everybody like that. And that's the irony, is that it was three white men. Cause I could have been saying, F everybody, but I wouldn't like that because I knew those guys, like, they seemed like nice guys. I can sense that they were nice men. Like, that guy that I was talking to, I could tell he was evil. Like, his face, he looked just like Steve Bannon's face, like, with the cracks and the scar, like, he looked just like him in the face. But older. But yeah. Wow. Well, if you had some more Raggedy People news.
No, hey, Q-Lin.
I was done.
Q-Lin. EB.
I'll be back from your break.
No, I'm serious right now because this is a very serious subject. And I might be a little older than you, and I'm sure I am, a little bit older than you and EB. And I remember, Martin Luther King. I remember him being assassinated. I also remember as a young boy being trapped in a gas station with three white grown racists. I'm 14 years old. Grown racists. Coming at me with broken bottles, trying to cut my face, calling me nigger, okay? And I'm here to talk about it because I was pretty fast too back in those days, you know. But on a serious note, this has nothing to do with, and it does also statues and flags and monuments and stuff like that. How in the world are you going to worship something that can't live, breathe, or is inhuman? You're going to worship that, and you want to spread blood to protect that. And then if you look at it also, what they are trying to protect was the Confederacy. The Confederacy fought against the United States. That means it was the United States enemy. And the last time I checked, right, this is the United States. These cats were treasonous at best and assassins at worst. You have to understand what's going on. And you are fighting over a flag? No. I just watched something on CNN, and there was this racist on TV being interviewed and telling people, yep, I'm not sorry that 32-year-old lady died. They are willing to spread blood. So my question is, how in the world can we allow this to happen in the United States? You've got the federal government. Why isn't the FBI and the Justice Department says, look, you are a criminal gang. These people are, it is well documented that these people have robbed banks to fund their cause. They have murdered people. They have lynched people. Are you serious about this? All right. And then you can have a 45 up there saying there was violence on both sides. And Friday night, I watched this thing, till I got sick to my stomach. These people walking through the University of Virginia. That's my home state. I was born in Richmond, Virginia. And when I grew up in a racist situation. And until the riots, things change. All right? But then we can carry this thing on and on and on. But I'm telling you exactly what I know. Okay? Anytime you have these racist people getting on TV and saying, yes, we are willing to kill people. They said that. Those clowns walking through the University of Virginia, they had torches. And there were hundreds of them. And they came with weapons. They came with AK-47s. They beat a black man in a parking lot while the police stood still and didn't do anything about it. Are you serious about this? Come on, man. I'm sorry I had to interject because this cuts deep. And this is no joke. And Q-Len, you shouldn't apologize for the way you feel. Because this is real.
Yeah, it's real, and people don't see. And that's the thing; they think it's just the South or whatever. They don't think it happens in California or New York. It happens everywhere, right?
It happens everywhere.
And then you want to play disrespect to all the people out there. Want to play disrespectability and saying all it's in God's hands. Well, let's see when you get face to face with this, because that's where it's at right now. Because they feel emboldened. These people that had all this suppressed inside, Trump is making it a reality for them to be out there and be racist. And I want to challenge when you're face to face with that racism. I want to see what that story looks like to those because it takes stuff like that for them to get it. It didn't take that for me. I was very aware of it from covert, whether it feels covert or overt racism. That was probably one of the ones that was overtly racist, like really racist, but I've been dealing with it all the time. It probably not as extreme as like what his story and what he was saying, but just in it all, it takes stuff like for it to be extreme for people to have a change of perspective. And it's like, why does it have to, I just want to know why does it have to be like you have to be face to face with a racist for you to realize like this is real. Like, this isn't just something that happened on TV. Oh, that just happened at a Trump rally. Like, no, that could happen at the grocery store. It happened to me at Starbucks. Like, I was legit minding my business. I didn't do nothing. All I did was go out to my car to get my charger and went to go get my drink. I paid for my drink, went out to my car to get my charger, to charge it up before I got on the interstate. Went back and he got in my face with that. Like out of nowhere. I didn't know that guy I've never seen that guy before in my life, and he felt that emboldened. He felt that comfortable being racist for whatever reason.
Right. Hey, Q-Lin, I have a question for you and EB. Do you think that the Crips or the Bloods could have gotten a permit to have a rally? Do you think that the mob could have gotten a permit to have a rally? And what if this has happened under President Obama's watch?
Oh, they would be saying everything. It would be tumultuous. Like, they would be trying to ring Obama, saying he's responsible. They would say they'd be on the news right now saying he was responsible for the Crips and the Bloods coming together. And which is the most ironic thing is they were, whenever the Ferguson and all those things were happening in Baltimore, when those Freddie Gray and all those different killings that were happening, they actually came together to stop people from looting and for rioting. But nobody ever on the news said anything about that. They were actually coming together and saying, no, you're not fixing to come from wherever you came from. Cause most of the time it was people not from that area that were doing the looting and all that stuff. And they like, nope, you're not fixing to do this. And they had the blood, bandanas on around their face and everything. Like, it was pictures out there. It was journalists, that credible journalists that were telling these stories, but nobody was reporting about that because they only look at, and that's what the Crips and Bloods, that's how they were formed, was trying to protect people from cops and for crookedness, and just like with the Black Panthers, and they try to deem them as being terrorists and all that stuff when they were trying to protect them from police and, you know, all those different, and knew their rights. And we're trying to teach other people their rights. We already know what it is. Just like the reason why the KKK, reason why those groups still form, because they have the police behind it. They got the mayor behind that. They got the lawyers. That's why they all wear the white sheets over their heads. So, because most of them are in public office and have some kind of power. That's the whole point of white supremacy. And because it's in the system. When you have those kind of evil and wickedness going on in the system, of course it's never going to change, because those people, they're never going to demonize. The reason why Trump is never going to demonize that, because he has that in his family. That would be like turning somebody away in his family if he tried to demonize white supremacy and neo-Nazis. Because he'll never say it. And he think going a roundabout way of saying it, he's already digging a hole for himself. But he's never going to fully come out and say that I denounce neo-Nazis and I'm not a part of that. Because he is. Because they probably pay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm saying part of that reason, or the reasoning behind people like that, who won't denounce these kinds of things, who don't see these types of groups as hate groups or as terrorists, is because they disguise it as patriotism. They're being patriotic.
Yeah.
They're being American. That's how they disguise it as, this is the American way. And that's why the police are behind them. That's why they have people who are in office, mayors and governors. That's why the bankers and the preachers and, you know, mm-hmm. people like this are a part of these groups, because they seriously don't think of these things as hate. They think that this is their duty as Americans. They are being patriotic. This is their contribution to society. And we, everyone else, is in the wrong. And
right.
It's getting to a point where you kind of want to sit down and say, well, how do we stop it? Because honestly, I don't think it'll ever end. That's just me. Like, it's been going on for so long. It's embedded into the fabric of America. That's what America is. A lot of it is hate. It is racism. It is bigotry.
Right. I think the only thing with my optimism is that I'm loving that I'm seeing, like, those people that the neo-Nazis, all those groups that were there with those tiki, people were blowing up those pictures, and they were, like, analyzing pictures and taking names down, looking up job information and getting people fired. It's a lot of thing. I think that's the great thing about social media, is that getting these pictures and seeing the faces of white supremacy and all this evilness, is that people are looking up jobs and getting these people out of there. Like, why would I want somebody that believes in that stuff serving me? Like, these people are waitresses and people that work in school districts. Like, why would you want somebody that have that kind of, why would you want that representing you in your school? You know what I mean? And so I think that's the, because my optimism is always going to be there with, because I love that part of it, is that the accountability, the ones that are trying to do the work, is getting these people up out of here. And then there, I saw so many people on these old fake Christians talk about, well, that's not, you don't need to mess with their livelihood. Why not? And that's where my issue mostly lies with people like that. Like, if you're good with being complacent, then shut the hell up while other people are doing the work. Like, don't say anything. If you're, and that's for either side. I don't care if you're black or white. If you're not there for better improvement for anybody that's oppressed, then shut up and stop talking and let people do the work.
That's
because
right.
All you are a distraction. And I don't care if you're a pastor. I don't care what title you hold. If you're not there to uphold democracy and truth and understanding what it is and trying to hold people accountable, then you can shut up as well. And complacent. I don't want to hear none of your complacent sermons about how we got to pray through this. No, that's nothing about what you're saying is biblical. Jesus, and I'm tired of y'all trying to paint Jesus like he was passive. Jesus wasn't passive at all. I don't know what God you serving or what Bible you reading the word Jesus was passive, because Jesus wasn't passive about nothing. And y'all interpretation of what the Bible is isn't true. And I don't care if you a pastor, if you a deacon, if you whoever of a church, you could try to fact check me with biblical scriptures. I don't care what you, it don't say nothing about that in the Bible. So don't even try to email me or try to tell me what the Bible says, because you don't even know what it says, because you don't. You say all these things, but you don't give to nobody in the community. You don't give to the homeless. You don't help anybody in need. All you do is sit up and criticize and judge people. So what God are you serving that does that? That's what I would say. So anybody on this complacency with racism, you can get out of my face, and I don't even entertain conversations, because at this point, when it gets to this point of it just being completely black and white of, are you for, getting over oppression, or are you for it? Either way, you got to get out the way. and I'm tired of having these conversations. We need to get about action and holding people accountable. That's where I'm at with the whole, where we go from there. And when I say hold people accountable, I mean white people, hold your people accountable. Because it ain't on us.
Right, let's start there.
The racism, the only thing that's going to start is holding, if you're not racist, if you want to make that claim, I'm not racist. I have a black friend, Tyrone, from high school that I, you know, you stand up for your friend Tyrone then. And call people out. You got a racist uncle, you got a racist grandfather in your family, call them out during Thanksgiving dinner. All of that stuff. And I'm being serious. Like, if you got racist people in your family, call them out. That's the only thing. Because they feel comfortable to talk to people. They think it's acceptable, period, in daily life. That's why they talk like that in private, because nobody checks them. If you check them and say, hey, that's not right, and all that stuff, like, it takes everybody from any community, whether you're a Muslim, if gay, if they say anti-Muslim stuff, if, you know, check them on that. If they say anti-gay stuff, say stuff about that. Like, it takes, you can be a part of all these movements by just speaking up for people, and you don't have to be a part of the movement to care. And that's the bottom line. And that's the only thing that's gonna change, is people with whatever you feel like is traditional, or oh, that I wasn't raised this way. When you realize that most of the stuff that was taught to you was out of hatred, then people start waking up. But it's not going to stop until other people, white people, hold their people accountable. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
So we can get to savvy news. I feel like
okay.
We had
yeah.
Unless EB had some more ragged people news. That was the only ragged people I knew that I had was that.
Well. Can I make a last comment? I'm sorry to keep interjecting.
Yeah, go ahead.
But this is near and dear. Okay. And EB, he made a comment about, you know, some of these people who are still supporting, these things. They, you know, they look at these people as being, patriots.
Right.
EB, what I like to do, I like to take a little bit deeper than that. These white supremacists, and I'm seeing this with my own eyes, and I'm hearing these guys saying, no, we want to kill you. See,
yep.
You know, it goes from one extreme to another. And I'm wondering, the people who says, yep, I still support the Republicans, I still support the president, okay? But then how can you support this garbage when if you associate with somebody or you can identify with somebody, what does that make you, okay? These people, I'm hearing it on TV, this is no. We want to kill blacks and Jews. They are saying this out. They're not saying this overtly anymore. They're out in the open right now saying this. And I'm looking at this. As a matter of fact, I watched something, just a few minutes ago that this guy pulled out five weapons, and he was at that rally. These guys, that's what they say. We want to kill you. Okay. Jews, you will not replace us. Blood and soil. Those are Nazi terms. Okay.
Yep.
And those are the people that are supporting Donald Trump. That's why he will not. So guess what? If you will not ban them, if you will not denounce them, if you will not say they are the most horrible people on the face of the earth and call them by name, then who are you? You're part of them. So we've got to realize who we have elected. Well, I didn't. Who was
right.
elected into the White House. But when, this thing resonates with me so deeply, right? And if you notice, since he's been in office, people have been more forward. They've been more open. The racism has come out. Bullying has gone up. There's more violence. When is the last time you see all of these demonstrations and rallies and town hall meetings and people fighting in the streets? When is the last time you see that? You didn't see that when Obama, even that dumb George Bush, you didn't see that. All right. But now we have somebody who has an agenda. And there's also something called population reduction. And there are a group of people that want to reduce the population. I just want to leave you with that. And so, Q Lynn, we can go into a break or do whatever you'd like to do.
We're going to go to the savvy news and then go to break. That was pretty much. I was asking, did he have any other ragged people news? I was just going to swiftly talk about that because I already knew what the deal was with them. So,
right.
They're a bunch of losers, and trying to stir up this racism stuff. I feel like it's more sensible people in the world than them. Either way, I don't want to sound like a Republican because they dismiss it all, but I feel like either you're gonna be for it or you're against it, and it's that simple. And I think Republicans are getting their hands put in the fire of trying to figure out, because I feel like this is gonna be the turning point of if they're trying to save their seats basically going into mid-election, so that's why they're trying to. If it wasn't a mid-election coming up, they wouldn't even be hesitating on this, I don't think. But some Republicans are coming out, some of them aren't. But I think these are one of the steps of trying to get him impeached, I think. That's just my opinion, but go ahead.
More Raggedy People news. I only have a little bit. 50 Cent. Have you heard about what's happened with Power? His show on Starz.
I had heard a little bit. I heard something about leaked episodes. And you know when Facebook says, then it must be a big deal because they get news 2 weeks later. And it's like, I was like, I saw somebody, it was a couple people I follow on Facebook that were saying something about it.
Yeah, so basically some episodes of the show were leaked. At first, 50 Cent denied doing it. And he finally admitted to leaking these episodes of his own show with Starz. 50 has been raggedy for a while now. I think, I don't know him and I don't really know a whole lot about, him, but from what I know, he just seems like a really immature person. And
right.
The fact that you, to prove a point or to be petty, would leak your own show, mess with your own money, it just blows my mind. I'm like, how and why? What caused you to do something like that?
I think it was last year when they were on their season, and I think it all started with him. I think his little package being leaked on a show or something like that, and they were supposed to edit it out, and it was on there. And he was saying something about that he was tired of being on the show and that he can't wait to get off of it or whatever his contract is up, he's ready to leave the show. And I think that's pretty much him trying to hurry up and speed up the process. Because I remember that, I don't even watch the show, so I was just reading his Instagram or something like that saying that he was ready to be done with the show. I don't know what his obligation is as a producer, but I know for sure he said that on the internet. So, yeah, I wasn't surprised. When I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah, he had said something about last year about having trouble with that show and wanting to be off of it. So that's probably him trying to, just him being petty. Like you said, he's always been, like, immature. Like, he's been starting rap beefs, like, randomly throughout his career.
Yeah.
And he ain't hot no more. Like, I wish he would stay on the show because I hope he ain't trying to come back to music. Whatever business adventure, he better stick to it because ain't nobody checking for Curtis on the music tip. Ain't nobody been checking for him since 07 or something like that. And even then, that's stretching it a bit because I ain't never... He's considered an older, a veteran hip hop artist, but ain't nobody checking for him like a Nas or a Jay-Z, you know what I mean? I think because he was like one of the ones that was like the last of the beefs, like with Ja Rule and stuff like that. Like he's the last of like people go to for beefs and stuff like that. Like he was one of the ones I heard like that was going at cats like by name. Early 2000s, stuff like that. But that got old after a while, and people stopped caring about his music. And once he stopped getting hits from Dre, everybody's like, all right, we cool on 50. We don't need no music for him. And that's pretty much what it is. Don't nobody be checking for 50 for no music, so you better stick to business or whatever you got going on, because don't be coming out with no mixtape or nothing, because I ain't listening to it. I ain't never checking for no 50 Cent music in 2017, ever. That's about it. His first album was nice, but other than that, I'm not listening to no 50 Cent in 2017. Like, nah, I'm good. So he better figure something out with Power and get his last check or create some other show or get some more vitamin water or some other deal or something, because I ain't checking on for no music. As long as he ain't putting no music out. Y'all work that out, so he ain't got to put no music out.
Do whatever you want.
I beg
you. Don't put no music out.
Starz. Figure out. Is it on Starz?
Yeah,
I beg you, get some kind of deal together to where he keeps doing that show, because we don't need no music in these streets. I promise you we don't need no music.
That's funny. But
you watch the show? You watch the show, EB?
No, I don't even watch the show. No, I never.
Yeah, I was trying to get into it, but people kept telling, like, you know, like, I don't mind live tweeting, but when you got to tell the whole story, like they tell the whole story on it, and I don't like, that, I just don't like, I feel like I'm already behind on it, and people say, no, you're gonna love it when you start watching it. I guess it was like Empire, because I didn't start watching it till the second season, like almost the end of second season, and it was only because it was a marathon on TV. That's the only reason why I watched it. And then by the time I watched like maybe 3 or 4 episodes, I was like, oh, this show is good. I think it was the first season I seen. It was like a little bit of that. And I was like, let me go back and watch it. And it was pretty good. And so I was, it might be that situation, because it was a couple guests on. We were talking about it, and they were saying it was a good show, but I ain't really been checking it. So I don't know. It just, I gotta be in the mood to watch it. I gotta be really bored to go back and watch Power or something. Oh, Game of Thrones, two people have been live tweeting about that. I don't really watch that either. I'm like, and then I know it's supposed to be a medieval time, but I don't like how they like encourage rape or something. They're like, oh, this person's going to get raped. I'm like, what? What? I'm like, what kind of show is y'all watching?
Yeah, where that's like normal to,
yeah. I know if I got into it, I can understand what they're talking about, but just the pretense of what they're talking about, I'm like, ooh. I'm like, oh, this person's getting killed today. Like, what? What kind of show are y'all watching? That's my reaction to it, but they're so into it. It's a lot of people, and they say it's on the 7th season. Now I don't know how much downtime I got to watch 7 seasons of Game of Thrones to catch up, because I'm going to be way behind.
That's a lot to catch up on.
That's a lot of episodes, unless they got just like 7 or 8 episodes to where I can fly through it real easy, but I don't know. I'll try to catch up. I'll try to see if I can watch it, but yeah. What else? You got any? I was trying to see if you... Was that all the Raggedy People news? Because I was going to get into Savvy News.
That was all the Raggedy.
Okay, Savvy News. I know grossed over 100 million. It hit the 100 million mark, so I think yesterday. So they went over 100 million in the box office total. So shout out to them for that. Did you watch that movie?
I still haven't seen it. I feel like I'm the last person.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, definitely. When people say Tiffany Haddish is the breakout star, yeah, she definitely was. Cause that her line, every scene she was in was hilarious. It's the funniest. I think from beginning to end, it was funny, and that's a lot saying a Will Packer production. Cause anytime his name attached to it, I'm like, ugh. Cause some of his movies is corny, and I can't. You know, I'm like, ooh. I'm like, and he's like that guy, like the go-to guy in Hollywood besides, you know, the other players. And so when Malcolm Lee, I'm like, but I think I love every Malcolm Lee movie because he did Best Man.
Oh, yeah.
Best Man's. I don't appreciate him for that Best Man's holiday, though, because he had me crying at the end. I'm like, it was so good up until that point. Like, why did you make that happen? And then I heard him on an interview saying that, oh, we had to make it realistic. I'm like, no, we didn't have to. This is a movie. I don't need it to. It's a comedy. I don't need it to be realistic. I need for you to. Made this, like, up until, now I can't even watch the movie. I watched it at one time in a movie theater and ain't watched it since. Cause that's,
yeah,
like,
that's one of those movies that
I
people in the movie theater
are
crying.
I was like, what is wrong with my eyes? I'm like, it's dusty in here. I'm like, yeah, I'm crying right now. This is ridiculous. Why did you write that scene in there? That, you could have made the whole movie perfect. And you didn't have to kill nobody off. And you did it anyway. But yeah, I love Malcolm Lee. I love his movies, but yeah. Will Packer production, Queen Latifah, Tiffany Haddish, Regina Hall, and Jada Pinkett Smith. It was a great movie. I love the backstories to how they wrote it in there. It was pretty good. But yeah, you're gonna love it. It's funny. I laughed through the whole thing. It was pretty funny. But yeah, shout out to them for getting that. And then also, I watched Marlon Wayans. He has a new sitcom with Essence, Atkins.
Atkins, yeah, NBC.
Yeah, she's been acting for a long time. She's been in, she's so young looking. Like, I keep forgetting she's in her 40s because I still think of her like when she's in her 20s, like with Smart Guy and stuff. Shout out to people that know what Smart Guy, because that was the show back then. But yeah, it's a show where her and Marlon, and he said it's based around his real life, kind of, because he's divorced, but his family is still, like, closely knit, even after... him and his ex-wife got divorced or whatever, and it's pretty much like that. But they had the pilot episode and the first episode on NBC. What was it? I think it was Wednesday night. Yeah, it was Wednesday night.
Yep.
And I watched both of them. I recorded on DVR because I knew I was going to forget about it when I got home. And so when I got home that night, I watched it, and it was funny. Did you watch it?
I did. I watched. I just watched them yesterday. Yeah, because I forgot Wednesday, but I caught up on them yesterday.
Oh, that show is funny. When he was like, whenever he was trying to, when his daughter was saying she was getting picked on or whatever, he's like, "How you get picked on? You black."
You black at an all-white
yeah.
private school.
Right. And then he was trying to tell her how to talk to the kids. And he's like, and then at the end of the episode that came up again, and then the teacher was trying to break down the why she was in trouble. She's like, she said this, you don't know me, and I'll bust your ass. And it was just funny how she was just saying that, like reading it off the paper. And then he looked back and was like, yes, like gave her the thumbs up and was like, and gave her a fist pound because she said all that. That was funny. And then I like how he gets like serious. He has like serious moments in there too.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really good actor. I like
he
how
is.
He like switches up from like funny to like, cause he has some kind of, you know, those essence of like serious moments, but then it's a comedy period, but I like how he like has those moments in there. And then also Breisha Webb is on there. Shout out. She's pretty funny. I like the show. And then his roommate or whatever. I don't know the actor's name, but he's pretty funny, too. I like his sarcasm. But, yeah, we go to break now, Will, if you want to, and we get to the topic of the night, talking about the best songwriters of all time.
This is Studio W, The Buzz. The Q-Lynn Green Soul Savvy Show with her host, E.B. Be right back. Welcome back. This is the Soul Savvy Show with EB and Q Lynn Green.
My jam right there.
That's one of my favorites right there.
I had to put myself on mute because I was singing all the background parts. That's what my vocals are. I do great background vocals. Now, lead vocals, I can't give you that, but some background harmonies, I got that down.
I'm the complete opposite. I want the lead all day, every day. Put me right there in the
See, front. I can hang with the background vocals because in church, I learned how to sing all three parts, the soprano, alto, and tenor, because, you know, people never showed up in church like they at a rehearsal like they're supposed to, so they're like, oh, can you sing soprano? Like, I could do that all day, every day.
Right.
I could do that. I was like, I don't mind. And it was always somebody, it was either you have like, it would always be the sopranos that it'd be like only like two of them. And like, can you sing? I'm like, all right, cool. Cause it'd be like 10 altos and it'd be like only like two or three sopranos show up. So you gotta, I was like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm cool with the backgrounds. I was like, I could sing any part. You want me to sing the high note, low note? I got you. I don't care. And some of them be trying to be arrogant, like, oh, I'm only singing this. Like, who cares? Like, sing, if you can sing, you can sing anything. So, get to singing. That's a whole other subject. I'm gonna try to create something to get some singers and musicians against each other, cause it's a real beef with musicians and singers people don't talk about. Cause I see all day, every day, I follow a lot of singers and they be saying that musicians don't know their parts. I'm like, well, y'all don't know y'all key, And y'all don't ever know y'all words, know the words to the lyrics. So, I'm gonna need for you. And then they always try to check us, but they don't know the words. I'm like, girl, I mean, one time I was, music directing and one of them tried to tell me I was playing. I'm like, girl, talking about she wanted to, I was playing in, C sharp and she was like, can you bring that down? Like, no, I can't bring that down. Like, that's what if you can't sing the record, you don't need to sing. Like, nope, can't take it down. And I hate that. They always, as singers always asking to bring the key down. Like, no, like, it makes it sound horrible when you do that. But yeah, it's a beef. It's a real beef with singers and musicians. I'm gonna try to get to the bottom of it. We're gonna bring somebody on. I might get both on at the same time so we can get some kind of controversy going on the radio waves or something. Just have them like battle it out, like singers versus musicians. We're gonna get that happening.
But I like that idea.
Right. I digress because it's a lot of musicians and singers that listen to this radio show. So I know if they listen in on this part, you know what? I'm going to change my mind and put this on the website and get this. We're going to get this singing versus musician thing cracking off. Like, who knows who comes to whatever rehearsals unprepared most? I'm going to throw that question out there. I'm going to throw it out there again on Facebook and I know a lot of them going to be going in. It's going to be hilarious. I'm going to try to throw that out there on Facebook and see who answers. Who shows up unprepared most? Singers or musicians? Y'all make sure y'all let me know in the comments or email me so we can get this battle going on. That might be a topic for next week. Singers versus musicians. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. But we get to a topic, talk about part two, songwriters, the best songwriters of all time. And we can pretty much name some of the people from last week because all of them, that's what happens when you gifted, you play, you do everything. Songwriter slash producer. Cause we can name Maurice White, we can name all those people again. Who else? Barry White, Isaac Hayes, Prince,
Curtis Mayfield,
Roger Troutman, Curtis Mayfield. Also, I want to try to name. Oh, and I forgot about young producers. I forgot to name DJ Camper. Like, cause he's
killing
the R&B right now. He's killing. He's been killing it for some years now. I think when I started paying attention to him was when he produced for Tamar Braxton's Love and War. I think that was maybe the first one that I started paying attention to. And he's been killing it because he produced for Mary J. Blige and just recently for Letticy, the Add to Me song, that joint. I should have played, I was going to play it this week, but we're going to play that next week because that joint is crazy. The Add to Me, it's crazy. But yeah, DJ Camper, great. I forgot to mention him last week. Songwriters, I like Faith Evans. She's a great songwriter. Who else?
Rick James.
I'm trying to think of some more songwriters. Babyface. L.A. Reid.
Ashford and Simpson. Top of the list.
Ashford and Simpson. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Top. trying to think of some more great songwriters. Oh yeah, Lionel Richie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm scared to say the next one though.
Who?
R. Kelly.
Oh my God.
Can we say he's a great songwriter?
I mean, but beyond the privation.
Right,
the
right.
Perversity.
Well, take those songs out.
If we really analyze it, his stuff isn't. Well, I can't really do that either because most of his songs are perverted. And
yeah.
I mean, if we take away the sex songs, okay, I Believe I Can Fly is at every church function in the 90s. So
right.
I think every church function was during the A and B selection had I Believe I Can Fly on the program.
In the wrong key. Let me put that out there.
Right, exactly. Like, and then some of them would just have the tape, and I'm like, how y'all got this wrong, and it's on tape. Like, what's going on? But yeah, I'm trying to think of some more. Oh yeah, Fortunate. Now that is my favorite song of him that he wrote because it's a perfect song. I just remember when it's just a real good song, and I like it. Yeah.
You were not alone, Michael Jackson.
It would be an asterisk if he's going to be on there. We're going to mention asterisk. He's still very perverted, so I can't go I'll give him credit for that one because my favorite song of him is Maxwell's Fortunate. But yeah, that's the only thing he gets. But some of his songs that he's written for himself, I think he's written more better songs for other people than for himself.
Yeah, he writes better songs for other people.
The Whitney Houston, I Look to You, that's a really great song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when he did Kurt Franklin's Lean on Me. I think he wrote on there. I got to check the credits.
Yeah, he did. Yep.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was a great song. That was a really great gospel song in the 90s. It was really popping. I'm trying to think of some more songwriters. You named Babyface. I said Lionel Richie. He's really a great songwriter.
Right. Did we say Stevie Wonder?
Stevie Wonder. Why did I forget that? I'm just,
just
losing my mind. Like, of course, all time. Like, a song that kids, what? Probably the kid wife. Are you kidding me? Hotter than July? What?
Yeah, Stevie is that man. He is the man still.
Baby. Oh man, and I Lost My Mind Again. We mentioned her in songwriting, but Angela Winbush, we should have named her in the producers as well.
And
I Lost My Mind last week. I had lost my
mind.
That's why I gotta start writing stuff down because I really lost my mind not naming her last week with producers. What for the Isley Brothers and for Layla Hathaway and for. Man, her whole piano arrangement is crazy. She ain't never made a song on the piano that like. Now she do have two similar songs that I was like, okay, girl, this is like the same song.
Yeah, okay, Angel and Smile.
Angel and Smile is pretty much the same song.
They are the. They are
I mean,
the same
if we're being honest.
I went over.
But it's
those
so good though.
So
you don't want to. You don't right. It's so good, I don't want to mention it, but it's like, we gotta make that known, though, that those are both definitely the same two songs right there. Like,
and absolutely. You got to play the right one on the right playlist, because some of y'all
are exactly.
Smile on your adult sexy time playlist, and that song's about her grandma, so don't put that one on there. Put
that's
on there.
Super inappropriate. Like, don't do that. And people do that with Earth, Wind, and Fire's Reasons, like playing it at weddings. Like, stop doing that. No, that's not a wedding song.
That's not a wedding song at all.
Maxwell is a great songwriter, too. But stop playing Pretty Wings at wedding functions as well. That's not and we need to ask that question to people that get songs wrong, like people that get lyrics wrong, and then Pretty Wings is not a love song. That is a breakup song. I don't know who keeps Brent playing this at wedding functions, but stop it. Like, no, that's not a wedding song. That song is about him leaving somebody. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. But yeah, who else? D'Angelo, absolutely, of all time.
D'Angelo, wow.
Songwriters,
producers. Yeah.
What? D'Angelo, who else? Erykah Badu is a great songwriter.
I'm going to take it back a little bit. Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards from She.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nile Rodgers, he wrote for everybody. Madonna, anybody popular, Diana Ross.
Right.
And he's written for everybody. I'm trying to think of some more from the 70s and 80s. I'm losing it quite a bit.
Norman Whitfield.
Oh, yeah, man, with the Temptations.
Temptations.
He had everybody in Motown.
He laced them.
He laced everybody up on Motown. especially with, you could do a whole appreciation on Norman Whitfield. Also, Bobby Womack, greatest songwriter of all time, top five.
Listen, top five.
And I love that he also made like backhanded love songs. I appreciate that because he didn't make like typical love songs. He made like love, like backhanded, like, girl, you know I love you, but I'll leave you right now. Like, that's what, and it's crazy how he came up with If You Think You're Lonely Now, because he said, I was watching Unsung, and he said that he heard one of his musicians, I think it was a musician or something, was arguing with his wife, and he was like, you think you're lonely now, wait until the night, and he hung up on it. He's like, man, I'm going to write that song, and that's how he wrote it, just from that. But it's basically like a backhand love song. Like, and then what's the other one? That's The Way I Feel About You. That's absolutely
that's the number one
backhanded love song. And he's like, you pushing me too far. And he's like, you need to think over how you talking to me, because I'll leave you right now. Like, that's how he was talking on that record. I'm like, I appreciate that, because it ain't really sappy. Like, he's like a different kind of approach to a love song, and I appreciate that, because
that's
real creative,
love right there.
Something like that. Yeah, it's old school. Like, that's something like my grandma and grandpa would be arguing over. I'm like, that's how my grandma and grandpa talk to each other, so it made sense. I'm like, that's love you talking about right there. That's
black love.
That's real. That's the love where you leave the house for 6 days, and then you come back like nothing happened. And he went to his other family. He probably had a whole other family on the side. He's like, I'm going to go to my other family so they can make me happy for the rest of the week, and then come back.
Get
yourself together and watch how you're talking to me while I'm gone. That's how he made love songs. But, yeah, Bobby Womack, top five songwriters of all time. Who else? I'm trying to think of some more artists. We definitely said Kashif.
Songwriter, Kashif. Did we say Gamble and Huff? Did we talk about Gamble and Huff last week?
I mentioned them. Yeah,
okay.
I mentioned them.
Okay, yeah.
Producers,
songwriters, all of that.
Yeah, and then also anybody on Funkadelic, Parliament, writing staff. I know George Clinton wrote some of it, but he was high like all the time. So
right.
He just was making noises in there. It was like, we're going to do that. Like, the poof off the motherfucker. He was just making all this noise.
You know what?
Stuff, so.
Speaking of people who high and writing songs, let's just say Chaka Khan right there. We're going to put her up there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember, I think it was Paul Mooney. Shout out to him also, because I forgot to do a, I was going to do a birthday appreciation to him last week, and I forgot about it. Shout out to him. He had a birthday. And, oh, yeah, we forgot to talk about Dick Gregory.
Oh,
you know,
Dick
hopefully
Gregory,
he pulled through. Those two of my favorite comedians that be talking right all the time. That's all I do on my down, when I be watching YouTube videos. I just sit up and watch videos of Paul Mooney and Dick Gregory, and I never get tired. Like, I do that and James Baldwin and whoever else I could think of that just be preaching and talking. Even Minister Farrakhan, I'll look up his videos and just be watching them, and just, I'm like, yes. And I just get my life from Dick Gregory and Paul Mooney. Those are my two favorite comedians of all time.
Yeah,
and
mine too.
Sitting there watching them. But Paul Mooney he was saying something. He was on a show talking about how Chaka Khan made a song named Angel, and she was hot. She said she didn't remember like making a song at all. And I was like, man.
Nope. She said that about a couple of her songs. Sweet Thing is one of those songs too.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't remember writing it. She said, I was high. I don't remember writing it. And you'd be like, how do you not remember writing this song?
You gotta be high. What kind of, that's why I can't do coke. And then also, speaking of coke, her coke partner, also Marvin Gaye, great songwriter as well.
Oh, yeah.
What's Going On, one of his best albums ever. I'm still mad that what's his name, was trying to pass on that. What is wrong with him? That's how I'm mad at him. I can't even think of his name right now. I'm losing it.
What's Going On?
Yeah, what's his name?
Barry Gordy.
What was wrong with him? And he passed on some other stuff that was like hit songs. And I was just reading some. Oh, yeah, shout out to you on your article. I was reading that. You was talking about the names. You got to talk about that next week and talk about these articles.
Oh, yeah.
Because you was dropping some gems on there, and it was a couple songs I didn't even know that were like that Michael Jackson was supposed to get one song. I didn't even know nothing about that. But yeah, we got to talk about that next week, about your post.
We're
really
going to talk about it.
I was reading them. And trying to think of some more songwriters. Oh, yeah, Michael Jackson was good, too. I know he had
Michael Jackson, credit. Definitely one of the greatest.
But, yeah.
The new people, Neo. Neo was killing it for, like, the early 2000s. On up until, you know, pretty recently, he been on his stuff.
Yeah, I think the thing is, like, I respect him, like, in totality mm-hmm. of, like, what he represents. But he ain't really my cup of tea when it comes to, like, singers. Or sometimes songwriting, because he wrote Mario's Let Me Love You, and I didn't really like that song like that, even though I knew it was a hit. I think because it was, everybody used to sing it all the time. That's why I'm like, most of the time, it's songs that, like, if it got, like, too much replay value to it, like, when it was out, I didn't like it. Like, Usher's My Way and Nice and Slow, I hate those songs to this day.
Oh, man, I can't stand Nice and Slow.
I can't stand them. They used to play My Way and Nice and Slow. Like, when I was in high school, it used to drive me freaking crazy, and I hate it
all
to this day. I hate that song. Like, and just like with Rihanna's Take a Bow, I hate that song. It drives me absolutely crazy because that's when I was in college and all that. That's the only song those white people would play, white girls would play, was Take a Bow, and it would drive me crazy, and I hate it. But, oh, yeah, The Dream wrote that Umbrella song.
Oh, yeah, The Dream.
The Dream. Now, he's absolutely vocally straight dumpster garbage trash, but I respect his pen game.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he stopped whining on Twitter about getting a Grammy because that was annoying. Like, dude, get over it. Like, he was mad when Jamie won for Blame It on Alcohol. He's like, well, I wrote on there, too. Like, nigga, who cares? Like, get over it.
Wow.
Okay?
I never even knew that.
I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah, like, he was really mad that he didn't get, and then whenever he won with his first one with Jay, with Run This Town, it was, what the crap was that song, the one with Frank Ocean, I'm trying to think of the name of that song with Frank Ocean, he wrote on that, and they won the Grammy for it.
I know, zero Frank Ocean song.
But he wrote on that because Frank Ocean was on the hook, and he did the one with Kanye and Jay-Z did the album together. What's that song called? It's not Run This Town. It's doggone it. What's the name of that stupid song? I'll think of it later. But The Dream is a great songwriter. Not every song. I like what he did with whatchamacallit, with Jay-Z with the Magna Carta album with the Holy Grail song. I love that.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But everything else, I think, with just his stuff, I think he just needs I think he's on to something with just writing songs for a while because his songs is terrible. Even though people was going up for, like, falsetto, but his falsetto wasn't good. I didn't know why
people liked it. It was terrible.
It was awful. Like, no, that's not a falsetto. I don't know what that is, but it's not a falsetto. I hate that song, too. And, oh, yeah, it's other people that songwrite, like Jeremiah. First of all, I hate that he has no A in his name. Like, why is that? Like, it's just certain things I can't get with. And Jeremiah, like, some people would say, why? You got to put him on it. No, like, his songs are terrible, and he's a terrible songwriter as well. His songs are not good. And other songwriters, Trey Songz, his music isn't good. I haven't liked him since he used to have the French roll back. The straight prison braids. I think I liked him featured when he was featuring on people's records more than his stuff. Like when he was doing a lot of stuff with Twista. Now,
right.
I love those songs, but the rest of his stuff, trash. Like his new album, trash. That needs to be in the dumpster. That's another, you can put that in affiliate with Keisha Cole's, and if somebody gave it to you, put it in the street and run it over and pour alcohol in it, because that's a terrible album. It's awful. He don't need no more press. Thank you. We need to keep his music. Like, he does, like, every album is the same album. He releases the same album, like, every year, just like with Chris Brown. And Chris Brown is a great songwriter, too.
Yeah.
And I wish he wrote better songs for himself. Yeah. He's written some really great songs. His favorite song of Chris Brown's that I love is the one he wrote for Dirty Money Yesterday. That is his best song to me, period. Like, the whole song, what he wrote on it, when he sung on it before Diddy's, I don't know if he wrote Diddy's verse or whatever, but his whole, when he's singing on it, he wrote that whole thing. Best song he's ever written to me. And also he wrote on Brandy's last album, 211.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Slower, I know for sure one of them was called Slower. It was really good.
Yeah,
I don't know about Put It Down. That was a nice single. I think that
was a
nice first single.
But it wasn't.
Yeah,
but
on the album, the Slower joint, his best song. But yeah, he can really write. I just wish he would write that for himself. Because most people don't know he's really talented. And I hate it's limited in certain spaces for him trying to make catchy songs for the people or whatever, his fans. But if
right.
he really, like, utilized his skills, he can really be, like, top five greatest, like, singer-songwriters out here. Like, for real. I'm not even saying that. Like, he's really good. Like, seriously. A great songwriter.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm trying to think of some more new ones. Oh, yeah, Tedra Moses, man.
Yo. Tedra. Shout out to Tedra.
Always
shout
out
to Tedra.
She is hella slept on, and I'm so mad about it. Like, I feel like if she had the right people, all she need to do is be on. I feel like if she got, like, the chance to be on, like, TV or whatever, like, if she did, like, a late night show to where
mm-hmm.
she could promote it, like, because that's what all the other, the independent artists are doing, are, because some of them got, like, they're the independent backing, but they got, like, major label pool or whatever and got those connections. If she get, like, if she just do anything, like, BET or whatever, people be on to her. Like, and I feel like that's going to happen. Like, all she needs is just a stage on TV or something like that to where she can get a lot of viewers in on it. The viewers, and she be popping out here, for real, because she is really good. Her songwriting, I say she's top five. Like, my favorite right now, she's my top five out there, because her songs are dope. All of them. Like, I don't know one song of hers that I don't like. It's that good. And
she's been for a long time.
Yeah, she's hella slept on. And I can't wait till she start, till people still really start paying attention like they did with, like, I'm trying to think of Alice Smith. She's dope, too.
Yep.
She got the, and
love
she's
her.
Been out there for the same amount of time as Tedra, too. That's what I'm saying, because once she got on TV, when she did Black Girls Rock, when she did Fool
mm-hmm.
for You, that was on her EP, she started popping out here and booking everything up. And she's on tours with all kind of talented, known like Gary Clark Jr. and all those other the ones that like book real gigs and stuff like that, and she's doing like stuff like that now, booking like way bigger gigs now. And if I think Tedra, she I feel like she's known around like some of the like R&B artists like Layla Hathaway and stuff like that, and Faith Evans. But if she just get that opportunity to like do a real big show, she'll blow up. And then I was really hoping that, I hate that L.A. Reid got outed at I lost my train of thought. What is the name of that label that he was on?
Epic.
It just came to me. I hate it because he could have had her on the roster. I felt like if any, like, R&B artist he could have signed, because he didn't sign any R&B. He didn't have any R&B acts at the time. He just had, what's the old girl name, the white girl that could sing real good. I forgot her name. She's kind of big. Got her name.
Megan,
Megan Trainor.
Yeah,
he just had her that was like the one that could really sing, but I thought it would have been a good look it still could be a good look for her to go to Epic if she would, but I think if they gave, they would have to give her, I think she would be like the one to get like a decent deal to where it would be most, because basically major labels, all they're for now is just for the backing, basically the, you know, for the tours and stuff like that. That's the only reason why you would need a label now. Like, pretty much you can do anything independent or put it out there on the internet, on streaming or whatever. But I'm just saying, if she wanted to do something bigger, I would go with Epic. But that's just my opinion. I'm trying to think of some more. I already said Faith Evans. Layla Hathaway is real good. Selena Johnson and her sister, they're really good.
Ooh.
That last album of hers was real good. I like the way it was written. I'm trying to think of some more. I think Letitia writes her songs, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Letitia writes for her. So,
oh yeah, Raphael Sadiq.
I don't know if you into. Oh yeah, man. Listen, Raphael Sadiq can do anything.
Oh, Missy Elliott. Missy Elliott wrote Fantasia. Free Yourself.
Fantasia, Free Yourself. She's Missy
Elliott. Tweet. Oh my God. Tweet is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Tweet can write. who else? Her pen game is crazy. I'm trying to think of somebody else that was there. I just had it in my, oh, Solange. That's who I was going to say. Solange is crazy. Her pen game is crazy too. Solange is insane.
Yes, she was writing for Destiny's Child and Beyonce.
Yeah. I see that at the table. Like, already, like, top five. Like, I feel like a seat at the table is like the, it could be like the first cousin to D'Angelo's Black Messiah. That's how I see it. Like, is that good? And I haven't heard a record, not since, I want to say Childish Gambino's, but Awaken My Love could be up there. I feel like Awaken My Love is a distant cousin to Black Messiah, but absolutely. I think since D'Angelo, album ain't rocked me like that since A Seat at the Table. And I love her subtleness with her approach to songs and how she executes songs. I appreciate that more just like with D'Angelo's. And I think the content and what they're talking about is what the people need, the, you know, Black people, and what we listen to and what we look for in music. I feel like that album is a first cousin of Black Messiah. And that's I think A Seat at the Table was since Black Messiah was the last album I really got hyped for all the way through and listened all the way through the interludes and everything. And I love how she had Master P and her mom and dad throughout the interludes going into the next song. And I just thought that was dope. But yeah, she's definitely like my favorite songwriters out there now. I'm trying to think of some more. I'm losing it.
I don't know if you're into Gregory Porter.
I listened to a couple of his songs. Yeah, I love Porter.
Corinne Bailey Ray.
Oh, yes, that last album. I put it in my top 10 favorite albums of 2016.
Yep.
I put that in my top 10. But yeah, we ran out of time. At right at 9 o'clock. It's real late. We went through that pretty fast. I feel like we weren't talking that long. Yeah. What would you do? I'd say you can follow me at Kulan Green on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. SoulSavviness.com. Got some new stuff for you. Also, you can just check out the website. I got some new stuff happening every week. EB, where can they find you?
EB for Prez, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and EBforPrez.com is the new website up. Go check it out.
I don't have a set. Oh, yeah, my heathen savvy talk is your president is trash. That's the only thing I can say. You got anything to say, B?
Yeah, white people, get your people. Check them.
Right, get your people. Get them together. Thank you for tuning in to Soul Savage Radio. We'll be back next Friday.
Fantastic show, EB and Kulan Green. You've been listening to the Soul Savage Show every Friday here at 5 p.m., Pacific Standard Time, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock on the East. Kulan and EB will be back next week for more crazy, crazy news. And hey, great show. You're listening to Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network. Coming up, Braxton's back with your host, Adrian Braxton, Catrice, Kobe, Lover, Mitchell, and they have a special special guest here tonight, and it's Jordan. All right, let's do this. Studio W, The Buzz. that I want you. I just want to feel I'm wanted. I like that jam. Studio W The Buzz. And we just wrapped up the Soul 70 show with Q Lynn Green. And coming up in just a few short minutes, Brax is back with the amazing Jordan Grady here live on Studio W The Buzz, a AAU gold medalist live here in studio. So stay tuned. We'll be here. Let's see, what do we have up on the queue right now? Let's do this. In the meantime, D'Angelo, girl, you need a change of mind. Hey, make this your station. Tell your friends about it. The app is free. That's IMG, the number 2, on your tablet or your smartphone. Or you can listen live here on our website, which is www.studiow.buzz. Huh. Only the finest.
Discriminate. Wow. Ooh. What? just a prisoner. Don't let me be a prisoner. From one command I stand and wait now. Me be a prisoner. What's the good of my caring if someone sharing those arms, but not with me?